This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly tanned Jewel Serkin.
Oh, it's Dorset tan.
That two gold mired in Dorset.
Yeah, it's Dorset. Yeah. They got great cliffs there, and we had cream tea.
Did you?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, but you don't know where you went in Dorset, do you? You just know you were in Dorset.
Well, I followed the wagon because, as you know, my new husband inherited a camper van from his lovely dad.
Yeah.
And it's a 20-year-old Heimer. There's a whole Heimer club going on, you know, because all the other Heimers...
That makes me laugh. I don't know why.
Yeah, you're going off the track, aren't you?
Maybe.
Yeah, you're thinking of something with a beginning with N.
No, I'm not. Go on.
Anyway, so I don't know what it is about camping. I'm quite robust, Paul Andrews.
I think that's the problem, though, isn't it?
I cannot
sleep. You're too robust for a little Heimer camper van, aren't you?
Yeah, I am used... I'm a girl that's got a Vispring Super King, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as I stopped breastfeeding the kids, it was, you know, out of the bed and get a Super King.
That was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Especially the little one.
Yeah.
So we're in this little, you have to clamber up a ladder, and I've got a metal knee, and usually I've had rather a lot of Prosecco.
Yeah.
So you clamber up a ladder, and then new husband and I are sort of lying like that, spooning.
Spoons.
But then if you want to move over, we have to synchronise the rollover because there's no room. And you've got the ceiling. You can't even sit up in bed with a cup of tea in the morning.
Yeah.
You've got the ceiling on your head. So I get quite claustrophobic, and I'm used to quite a lot of space, I think. And so I've existed on 4 hours sleep a night if I was lucky. So what I did was, and also the toilets, I mean, they're spotless. We were at East Fleet Caravan site. It was highly recommended if you like camping, and they are spotless. But what I do is in the morning, I get up really early because I don't want to have to queue, because you have to queue because everybody goes at 8 o'clock. So I get up quite early, about 6:30. And then when I go to the loo, you know, in the morning,
a
little ablution.
Constitutional.
I map it out. So I go right to the corner where there's a nice window and I get in, I get all tucked up, put a bit of loo roll on the seat, you know, do all that. So it's all hygienic.
And then you fall asleep, don't you? On the seat.
No, but then there's always someone. There are 40 toilets to choose from. I've got my own little corner. I've got the window open.
And there's always someone on yours.
Someone then comes in and goes right next to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a bit, you know, and I can hear them and they can hear me. And... Yeah, I find that a bit, and all the sort of hawking and spitting, and that's just the women.
Yeah.
So I'm not really the camping type, but I do love the outdoors. Mm. You know, I love the outdoors. I live outside. We have breakfast outside and lunch outside. And, of course, we had the most clement weather ever, didn't we?
You did have a nice time.
We had a heat wave.
I saw all your foodie pictures.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, and all your shenanigans and all your goings-on. And it was really warm.
Beautiful. It was very clean. The water is really clean compared with where we are in Whitstable because we have mud. And it was clear as anything. Like Ibiza.
Yeah.
And the people are lovely. And I've got lots of Dorset goodies. So my next Scoff and Quaff show I'm planning, of course, is a Dorset special.
Right.
Where I won't do an accent because that would be rude, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But they are nice out down there. And we did have a cream tea. We took it down to the beach, down to the cove.
Cream or jam?
Oh, definitely. Well, did you see my new husband upset me because he put the jam on top?
Don't want to do that.
It's far too sweet. Yeah, I told him off.
Yeah.
But we took that down to the beach and we had some really good food down there. I do recommend Dorset. And they think it's busy. It's not busy at all compared with over here, you know, where we've got all the Londoners and that. So, yeah, love Dorset. I think I prefer Dorset to... I was thinking, why does everybody drive to Cornwall and Devon? Because it's a long, long way.
Mm.
And I met some Londoners and I was giving them all my tips of where to eat because now I'm like a local now and how to book things. And they were very interested. But it had taken them 6 hours on a Friday to get down just to Dorset from London, from Tooting.
I can imagine.
So imagine if you're going Devon or Cornwall.
I can imagine.
And I did look to take my mum at the same hotel and it's totally booked. Everything's crossed out because everybody's having an English holiday.
It's all staycations, isn't it?
Yes, so it was great and I loved it. And then my new husband on the penultimate day in the pouring rain when we had that storm, so you're in your camper van, you've got like tin can crashing down. He then locked his my Mercedes keys in the boot of my car because I drove my car down because I decided that if we're camping, we need transport. We've got the bikes, we take them all the time, we never use them, we also end up going in the car. So I drove down, and then he locked my Mercedes cars in the boot, as you do. And the AA man, Steve, was amazing. He came and he said, I'm not sure I can do this, but I'll have a go. And he was kneeling in the pouring rain, trying to pick the lock.
Yeah, yeah.
So I sent new husband out with an umbrella, and he stood over him diligently. And he, after about 15 minutes, he managed to get the Merc open.
What is it with
holiday brain?
No. But you're the second person that's locked their keys in the car, and as I said to the first person that did it, especially with a Merc, why haven't you got the Merc app on your phone?
I don't know whether my car is new enough. Is it?
It should be.
Oh, the find my car.
No.
Not your keys.
No, I can unlock my car from my phone.
Can you?
You don't need keys.
Well, I haven't got the camera either on mine, as you pointed out last time. I've only got the bleep bleep when I reverse, which is why my new husband often sabotages me by moving the chairs in the front garden.
See, with mine, you can unlock the car from your
I've seen phone. The adverts of that. That looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I can pop it in. I do need to get it all done because the roof, you know, I've got a soft top. After that torrential rain, I looked at my car and there was like a stream gushing. So somehow it's getting through. And then you shut the door and this whole waterfall shoots over your head. So I think there's a little gap somewhere.
Sounds good. Anyway.
Yeah, I've got a holiday brain, just to warn you.
Anyway, we're now 8 minutes in to the start of the show. And I want to say a big thank you to this week's show sponsors.
I was going to ask, who is it?
The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with leading employment law firm, Loch Associates.
Loch.
Yeah, they'll be bringing you regular news, information and help with employment law, health and wellbeing at work. If you want to find out more about Loch Associates, you can go to their website, which is lochassociates.co.uk, and Loch is spelt in the Scottish way, L-O-C-H. That's lochassociates.co.uk. Big thank you to them for sponsoring the show. Now, listen, I've got an email here.
Yeah.
And I read this last week, but yeah. I saved it again for you. So I'm going to do it again for you.
Oh, really? Why?
It's a job.
Oh, I need one.
And it will suit you.
Okay.
Trust me.
Is it eating?
No. A fairground is advertising for horror fans to
not
work
on... Not a fat lady.
Just let me... is advertising for horror fans to work on its ghost train. Carlos Christian, who runs Smith's Family Fun Fair, is looking for someone a bit frightening.
Oh, really?
To scare visitors at the fair this summer. The fairground, which is based in Eye Wade near Sittingbourne, opens to the public last week and auditions will be held at Laysdown on the Isle of Sheppey.
You don't want to go there.
Yeah, there you go. So they actually say it will suit someone that is a bit goth.
I can be goth.
Are you a bit goth?
Oh, I can definitely do
You're
goth.
You're certainly frightening.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Right.
Thank you very much. I shall ring them immediately. And at least it wasn't the big fat lady.
Well, you know, you never know.
I'll tell you what, I put on a pound or two on holiday.
I can see what you ate. I know. I'm not a surprise.
Moment on the hips.
Yeah.
As Beyonce once said.
Yeah. Go on then. What you got?
Well, flexible office space, actually, and hot desks in Kent see a huge surge in demand, which is interesting because when I went to Moorfields about my eye post AstraZeneca jab, in the city, loads and loads and loads of offices to let just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not many for sale, but for let, which annoyed me because I'd rather buy one. And it will be interesting. We must do a show again on how the city will evolve and adapt.
We're going to do it in about 4 minutes' time.
Oh, are we?
I'm going to talk to Denise.
Oh, Denise. Okay.
Yeah, Denise Ford from Michael Part Surveyors about the commercial property market.
I'm like a clairvoyant, aren't I?
Well, something like that.
Shall I continue?
Or you just read the tweets that I've been putting out all week.
No, yeah. I haven't bothered with that because I've been on holiday.
True.
Been in Dorset.
Yeah, go on.
East Fleet.
Listen, I'll tell you what, you read that.
And I'll hum it.
No, you read that. Then I'm going to play the Tuesday Tunage, and then we're going to play Denise's interview, and all of that is going to be seamlessly like it was produced.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Sitting up all night, Paul Andrews.
Exactly.
Flexible workspace providers in the county have seen a huge surge in inquiries as companies look to change the way they operate post-pandemic. With the work-from-home guidance now relaxed, many employers are looking at maintaining remote working by securing shared office space, or staff looking to find a workplace away from the distractions of home and biscuits. I put that in.
I thought you might.
And that is leading them to providers of hot desks or small dedicated office space, such as Fruitworks, Paul Andrews.
Exactly.
Between February and June of this year, 20 workspace providers said they had received more than 1,100 inquiries looking for co-working space in the county. And many say demand has been so great they're now operating waiting lists. So bring it on, the old flexible workspace.
Absolutely. So, in line with that, we're going to play some Cheesy Tunage. Now then, the problem I have with this is nobody seems to have written a song about office space.
Well, no, why would you?
Yeah, I know. So this is the nearest I could get.
You could play Matthew and Son.
Why?
Matthew and Son.
Yeah. I know what the song is. What's that got to do with
it's about work, isn't it? Clocking off and you get coffee and a piece of cake. Ba, 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 ba. Oh, Batman. Oh yeah, this is Jarvis Cocker, isn't it? Yeah, Jarvis Cocker.
It's Blur.
It's Jarvis Cocker.
It's Blur.
It's Jarvis Cocker. Caught in a rat race. Yeah. It's,
No. It's a big house in the country. Blur.
Oh yeah. You know, I know the song.
Watching afternoon repeats and the 38s in the country. He takes a manner of pills and piles up analyst spells in the country. Oh, it's like an animal farm, that's a rural charm in the country. He's got morning glory and life's a different story. Everything's going Jack and Jory. In touch with his own mortality. And looking bad prose, it's a helping hand that makes you feel better you're blind. Oh, it's a century's remedy for the things that haunt. Start trying simple. Lives in a house, a very big house in the country. He's got a bug in his chest, so he needs a lot of rest in the country. He doesn't drink, smoke, laugh, takes herbal baths in the country. Says she comes to no harm on the animal farm in the country. In the country. In the country. In the country. She comes in her heart from the animal farm in the country.
That was Damon Albarn, Blur.
Could have been Jarvis Cocker, though.
A big house in the country, but it wasn't.
They're all the same, aren't they?
A big house in the country. Now, I know that isn't exactly the right thing, but it was the nearest I could
I would have had Matthew and Son.
And I like a bit of Blur, so we had Blur.
Yeah. I also think you could have played Dinny Dinny by Blondie, couldn't you?
I still don't know the relevance of that either. Why?
Denise.
Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Yeah, no, I didn't think of that. I really should have thought of that.
Had I not been on holiday, I would have told you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, shall we hear from Denise?
I'd love to, yeah.
It was a pleasure to catch up with Denise Ford. Denise is the director of Michael Park Surveyors Limited over there in Medway. And we talked all about commercial property. Let's hear what Denise had to say.
Okay. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Denise Ford. Denise is a director of Michael Park Surveyors Limited. Good afternoon, Denise. I hope you're well.
Good afternoon. I am. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Cool. It's lovely to talk to you again, Denise, and thank you so much for joining us on the show. Just to kick us off, can you just give us a quick overview of Michael Parks, what it is you do and how you do it?
Yes, we are a firm of chartered surveyors and planners based in Rochester. We value, sell and lease all kinds of commercial property.
Right, okay. And you cover the southeast of England, London and the southeast of England, do you not?
We do. We go into South London for property management work and valuation work, but we tend to sell and let throughout Kent.
Fantastic. And I have to say, I have to give you a big thank you because a few months ago, you were very helpful to me personally with some property issues I had. So thank you for that.
That's okay.
And you're always my go-to experts for commercial property. What I want to talk to you about this afternoon, Denise, if I may, is what your view is on the commercial property space, the commercial property market, once we finally lock down, if we ever do finally unlock. What are you looking at? What are you seeing? How are things starting to unfold in the commercial space?
Well, it's been a bit of a strange year. We initially thought when we first went into lockdown that everything was just going to completely crash and the prices would drop, businesses were going to fail.
Yeah.
And it was just going to be a disaster all around. But within, I guess, the first 3 months, things start to turn around. And we found this strange phenomenon that people that were working from home either liked it or they hated it. Those that hated it had kids at home who were home learning and they couldn't work from home, so they needed small offices. And there was a sudden splurge of people that needed to move out into service office space.
Right.
So just, you know, one or two people in a room.
Yeah.
That trend appears to be continuing. There's an awful lot of business owners who have buildings with spare space who are now leasing their rooms.
Mm.
And then as we started to come out of lockdown a little bit more, we started to see businesses that had been always working from home suddenly expand. New businesses had started to be created during lockdown. They realised they couldn't function any longer at home from garages or their back rooms.
Yeah.
And a new market started to appear. So small industrial units started to literally fly off the shelves.
Okay.
Interest rates remain low, and that made investments quite popular. People were coming out of retail and coming out of residential and wanting to get into industrial so they could see a different kind of market evolving.
Okay.
And that trend seems to be continuing.
Right.
We are starting now to see that businesses have taken an overview of their space, their current space, and because of the amount of people working from home or now wanting flexible working, they don't need such big spaces, so they're starting to look to downsize.
Yeah.
So there is this big demand for smaller units, whether it's offices or industrial, and the office sector has surprised us because that has stayed fairly strong. And I can see that carrying on. I think there is going to be an awful lot of businesses who really look at what they occupy and whether they're occupying it effectively.
Yeah.
If they're not, they're looking at splitting it and getting new occupiers in, or they're downsizing. So it's a very strange trend at the moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, coming back to your original point about home working, as you probably recall, I own Fruitworks in Canterbury, which is a community workspace. And we've always been of the view that most people don't actually like working at home, but what they hate even more is commuting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so what they tend to do is come and work in a space like ours or a shared space of some kind. So to avoid the commuting but not having the issues of actually working from home, because most people don't have the resources to work from home anyway.
That's right.
They don't have sufficient space. The broadband in this country is appalling anyway. I totally get that. And it's also interesting what you say about businesses downsizing offices. I mean, myself personally, I have a large office in Maidstone High Street. It's kind of 7,000 square feet. And now I've got three people working in it. And I can't get out. You know, I've still got 4 years left on that lease. So I've now got an incredibly expensive overhead that I don't need. So I think in talking to people, I think the way forward is going to be people looking for a lot more flexibility in their workspace.
Without a doubt. They're looking at shorter term leases.
Yeah.
They're looking at all the costs that are involved in letting. I mean, your one in Mesa is a prime example. We're talking to another company at the moment in exactly the same situation.
Yeah.
They've got offices in the town centre, but they're also paying for car parking, because to go to Mesa, you've got to get a permit from the council car park. That's expensive. So their one requirement was, we want to come out of the town centre, but we must have free car parking and it must be on site.
Yeah.
And so the type of space people are looking for has totally changed. It's not about location. It's about whether the space works for them and whether it's cheaper. And that's the key. But having said that, it's not dropping prices. Prices are increasing still.
Right. Okay. So prices are still going up, yeah?
Yeah, very much so. Okay. Yeah, we are seeing a lot of strength. Some people are asking for rent-free periods, which we haven't seen for a long time, but they are being resisted.
Right. I have to say, I'm going to mention this. I mean, I don't expect you to comment unless you want to. But politicians are the bane of my life. I think politicians are the problem, not the solution.
Absolutely.
And the housing minister, the communities minister the other day was chuntering on that they're going to do us all a favour in business by reviewing business rates on a more regular basis. Well, excuse me for being cynical, but on the fact that business rates are based on the rentable value of your premises, they're never going to go down, are they?
So No way. And that's something else people are looking for. Smaller units at the moment attract less rates. So if you're under the 12,000 threshold, you're not paying rates.
Yeah.
Small industrial buildings, that makes a hell of a difference to an occupier. And that is one thing that they're looking for. If it's just over, then it puts them off completely, because they've got to pay the full rateable value. And you're right, they will increase rates over and over and over. And it's a big overhead.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not going to be good for me, but it is going to be good, as you say, for people that have downsized and now come under the limit for paying business rates. Absolutely. I'm also intrigued to hear what your views are on retail space. You know, we've spent, even before the pandemic, we spent a long time agonising over the death of the high street, as it was touted. I've never been a believer in that. I think it's an evolutionary process. I know for a fact that retail isn't dying. Retail is changing. The thing that's dying is shop fronts and the people that work in a shop front. The thing that's growing is the people that work behind the shop front. In terms of, you know, warehousing and transportation and delivery and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But what's your view on retail space and how that will kind of translate itself once we come out of lockdown?
I think we are going to see smaller high streets. So the traditional high street that stretches for miles down the road, I don't think will exist any longer, and the secondary spaces will be converted to other uses.
Yeah.
We're seeing, to my surprise, secondary freehold retail sells quite well.
Right.
We are also finding there is a fair demand for small retail to let. So, you know, the demand is still there from hairdressers, from now salons, the kind of small local businesses. I don't think any retailer expects to get a good covenant anymore. They're not looking at the multiple companies to occupy their space. So there is going to be an adjustment in freehold values, because they are looking at a lesser quality tenant.
Right.
Those tenants are also looking for a lot shorter terms. They're only prepared to really look at 3 years, possibly 5 years with a break at the fifth year if they're going to let.
Right.
But I'm very much of the view of you. I think retail is going to change, and what we're going to see is there is going to be more retailers occupying space, more sort of boutique occupiers, but they're going to have a heavy reliance upon the internet for their sales. So the shopfront will literally just be a shopfront.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that we're going to see traditional retailing as we always have done, with the whole reliance upon people walking into those shops.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've seen over lockdown, the most successful local retailers, clothing retailers, that kind of thing, they transferred all of their sales to Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and they did deliveries. They still had their shop front, but all of their trade, and they managed to trade quite successfully through lockdown by just changing how they market themselves. And I think we're going to see that trend continue.
Absolutely. I mean, again, I don't expect you to comment on this, but my own personal experience of this is it makes me laugh, which is why I have no time for politicians at all. Our government has spent the last couple of years telling us they're going to try and save the high street, and then implementing things that kill the high street. And the latest thing, and not so much here, I have family that live in France, and as you may or may not know, the French government are actually putting in place vaccine passports that prevent you from shopping in supermarkets unless you've been double vaxxed. All that's going to happen is those people that haven't been vaccinated or don't want to be vaccinated or can't be vaccinated will buy their stuff online and have it delivered, thereby you know, exacerbating the things that have happened with the fixed retail high street already. And if they carry on that way here, it will happen here too. So they are really
Local retailing, people are prepared to support, aren't they? Now, we had to support the local retailers. I don't know about you in lockdown, but I didn't walk into a supermarket at all, and I didn't order online deliveries. I couldn't get online deliveries from supermarkets. So I simply swapped my my retailing to my local corner shop, which literally transformed overnight and had got all the goods I'd ever needed. Absolutely. And the local butcher. And they've thrived, absolutely thrived. You get a better quality of service. You know that you can buy anything that you want to. And if it's not there, you ask the shopkeeper and you get a different kind of service. And they're the ones who are going to win, and they are going to be the ones who keep retailing alive. And as long as everybody supports that, and hopefully they will, then I think that they will continue to be quite successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I just like you, I did exactly the same. Shop around the clock. Dell's Emporium in St. Michael's, which is my local shop. Big plug for them. They were brilliant. They were absolutely brilliant during the lockdown. They were fantastic. They had everything I wanted. If they didn't have things I want, I'd just say, hey, Dell, you couldn't get these in. Yeah, I'll get those in. Don't worry. I'll give you a ring when they're in. You know, absolutely brilliant. And they didn't charge over the top. I know that some shops, you know, tried to make money out of it, but, you know, I wasn't paying any more there than I would pay in Tesco's or anywhere else. So, no, you're absolutely right, and all power to them. And I will continue to use our local shop even when, if ever, things return to normal.
I mean, have you noticed, I don't know your local high streets, but if I walk down to, you know, Chatham or Gillingham around here, there has been a sudden explosion of fresh fruit, greengrocers.
Yeah.
And well, the wares that they produce are unbelievable. I mean, the stocks that they have are fantastic. You don't need to go to a supermarket anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'm really lucky. I live in Tenterton. And our high street hasn't been as badly affected as other people anyway. The high street here in Tenterton is mostly independent shops, and they all have a good, loyal, local customer base. And we also have street markets on a regular basis, and a daily fresh produce and fresh fish market. So it's quite a thriving little market town of independent traders, you know.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is... the only shops we lost during the lockdown were all the chain shops. We lost Monsoon and Liberties and a couple of the other, I can't remember what they're called, chain, you know, big corporate chains. They left the high street, but...
do we miss them, though? I don't think so, because you can buy that kind of thing online.
Exactly.
I know it's nice to be able to go in and hold a jumper if you want to buy a jumper, but you don't need to, but you do like to go and look at your fresh fruit. You know, you've seen the explosion of cafes. I think that's going to continue as well, is the Costas can compete alongside independents. And now that the government is allowing pavement trading, which has always been a big bugbear that most towns won't allow tables and chairs outside properties,
Yeah.
That's allowed to continue. It's given them another market.
Absolutely.
To go inside because they're frightened of the virus. So it's given them the ability to continue trading. And I think we'll see a lot of that.
Yeah. I just want to finish off, Denise, if I may, on your thoughts on the planning process. I'm not entirely sure where we still are. I went through a massive problem with one of my local councils trying to get change of use from a retail shop into something that they didn't have a designation for, which is a community workspace. And the fact that I just said it was B1 office space, they didn't want to know. I eventually got round it, although it cost me a fortune, by finding an obscure thing that said an internet cafe is actually retail A1. So I just opened an internet cafe instead of a shared space.
Same difference, yeah.
Yeah. But have you any thoughts on how the planning process is impacting, particularly the high street, you know, particularly retail premises, although, you know, it does impact a lot of other things as well. But particularly there, because one of the things I'm seeing is a number of offices and retail spaces being converted into domestic property, and they don't seem to have so much problem getting the authority to do that.
No, that is very much welcomed these days in order to put the properties back into use.
Yeah.
I've got more of a concern. Obviously, I don't know if most people are aware, but in September last year, the planning process changed. And instead of the traditional B1, B2, BA uses, they changed to what's supposed to be a more simple process.
Right.
So now you have for retail, light industrial, for example, they all come under Class E. And that's a really wide bracket of uses that you can have.
Right.
So in a traditional high street, you'd have an A1 use, which would be the general retail. You'd have an A2 use, which is the professional. And you'd have A3, which is the restaurant use. But they now all come under Class E. Previously, each of those three classes would have had applied to them.
Right.
Now what I think we're going to see is a very difficult justification on how we're going to differentiate between the rents because they all come under the same use class. That may impact on rental values in the future and it may impact on the freehold value as a result. Traditionally, a restaurant is worth more than an A1 shop and the A2 sort of sits in the middle, the professional services. We're not yet seeing people argue about the rent that's being asked, but I think we are going to start to see that over the next few years, because how can you value that a shop that is just Class E is worth any more because that's in it, because you can choose which occupier that you have in that property. And I think we're going to see that fall out, particularly when it comes to rent reviews in the next few years.
Okay, cool. Denise, thank you so much for all of that. It was a fascinating overview of what's happening in commercial property. Thank you so much for joining us. If people want to find out more about Michael Park Surveyors, what's your website?
The website is Michael Parks, that's Michael spelled the Norway, and Parks is parkes.co.uk.
Fantastic. We'll put a link to that on the radio website as usual. Denise, thank you so much for joining us on the Bunker Show. It's been really interesting to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon and we'll see you again soon.
Andrew, thanks Paul.
The Kelly Turner Foundation. In 2021, R. Kelly would have been 21 years old. Unfortunately, DSRCT cancer took her life. There is still no cure or chemo for DSRCT. Please help us celebrate Kelly's 21st by supporting our fundraising for research by the Institute of Cancer Research. Please Google Kelly Turner Just Giving and donate to save teenage lives. Thank you.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lark Associates Group, Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Fascinating interview there with Denise Ford of Michael Park Surveyors. Interesting that commercial property prices are retaining their value still. And it's just a kind of downsize movement. But people aren't selling, like you said, people aren't selling their big office spaces. They're converting them into multiple use.
Yeah, which would be great, a great idea, because if the city's going to survive, and I'm sure our towns, with people working from home, our smaller towns are surviving, don't you? I think they're flourishing. Mm. You know, we're all using the local greengrocers. And did you see my picture of a lemon this morning?
I did. It was biggie, wasn't
it? Yeah, so when I was camping, the campsite didn't have any fresh veg, which just we were quite shocked about in their shop. They had a big shop.
Don't they grow lemons in Dorset?
No, you don't. No. And so I went to a famous German supermarket, beginning with Aldi, and bought some lemons and I bought some strawberries. Now, you know I'm a local girl and I love to get my strawberries from Kent and locally grown farmers and farm shops. The strawberries were tasteless. They went off the next day. And they were just tasteless. It was like nothing. And the lemons, you saw the size.
I did.
So when I got home, I trundled straight to Staines Farm Shop, which is in Whitstable High Street, spoke to Julie there. She's the owner, one of the owners.
I was going, got any big ones, Julie?
Yeah, got any biggers. They're not cheap. They're 55p. But
it was twice the size.
Yeah.
It was two lemons.
Yeah, I get a little squeeze in hot water and lemon honey. I have Kentish honey every morning before. That's how I stay so young and beautiful, Paul Andrews.
Is it? Right, yeah. Okay.
That and a little...
I'm saying nothing.
A little Prosecco. So, yeah, I think you get what you pay for. And I love the fact that I don't really go to supermarkets and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a tweet. We read a tweet from the lovely folks, Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks.
They've been busy, haven't they?
They have. And they said Tuesday just wouldn't be Tuesday without the Business Bunker, the crew of two and their wonderfully interesting guests. This week, Brian and Denise. Tune in or catch up, but don't miss out on the news and laughs. Makes our day whenever we listen in. So thank you for that.
Oh, I hope they're listening in. They're probably making something out of an old box they found.
You were having a conversation with Vicky as well, weren't you, from Pink Spaghetti?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was interesting because, as we know, the hospitality business has had an awful time. And, you know, food waste and losing staff. There is a big problem with staff shortages, which I saw down in Dorset, Paul Andrews, in the pubs. A lot of them were only doing lunchtimes because they couldn't get the staff for the evening.
Yeah.
So what Vicky Pink Spaghetti was saying, she said, please, Business Bunker listeners, and she knows that our listeners would never do this, but if you do book a table, please, if you can't make it, remember to cancel it, because there are six or seven tables sometimes going amiss where people don't turn up.
And at the moment, trying to plan your staffing for these kind of things is a bit of a nightmare.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also the food. If you know you've got 10 people coming in, then you get your chickens or your fish or your whatever.
Yeah, so this is an order. If you've booked a table and you can't make it, you ring up and tell them that you can't make it in plenty of time, otherwise I'm going to come around and sort you out.
Yeah, you heard it first on the Business Bunker. And tell your listener, he's waggling his digit finger, so that means business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What have you got?
Well, the boss of a leading order fulfilment business in the county has been named as one of the local ambassadors for a string of events to help the economy as we exit the pandemic. Are we exiting the pandemic?
We're trying to.
Yeah. Samantha Anderson, founder and managing director of OFEX, that's the Order Fulfillment Experts, and they're based in Rochester, will be the local figurehead for Entrepreneurs Circle, which has thousands of members across the UK. And she'll be running the first in a series of monthly networking meetings at the Village Hotel in Maidstone. It'll be on July the 29th. When is that? Is that
Thursday.
Okay. And it's from 6 to 7:30. Your attendance is free for Entrepreneurs Circle members. Non-members can apply for a trial membership and find out more details by clicking here. You can go to elocal.co.uk/Maidstone.
Fantastic.
Quite a lot happening on the Twitter, actually. I saw something about the Mrs. Greyhound cat, Casey Canine.
Oh, yeah. While you're looking for that, I'll read this other tweet, okay. And then you can find that and read that Casey one.
Yeah, I will.
This is from Kim Stevens from Caring Kent. She says, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker show. She said, do you love helping others? Ever thought about becoming a carer? If you answered yes, then you could be one we're looking for. We look forward to hearing from you. Caring Kent looks after people in their own homes. So they're looking for carers to help them do that. If that's something of interest to you, you can follow them on the Twitter at Caring Kent, or you can ring Kent on Ashford 01233 619 530. That's 01233 619 530.
Paragon Drones,
yeah.
Has said a big hello to us on Business Bunker and all the listeners. I'm still scrolling through here. DG East says, time for a new car, methinks, Jules Serkin, always ready to help. And that's
she'd only lock the keys in the boot again, Terry.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't me. Then also, I've got lots here, sorry. Tenterden Chamber is saying something. Hang on. There's just too many, Paul.
While
Andrews.
You're doing that, James the prop maker, do you remember James?
Yeah,
had him
I do.
On a few
He's
months
on the
ago.
Show.
He makes props for TV shows. And he says, here's an update on the Brum project. And we're raising money for the Alzheimer's Society with it. And that's Brum. He's a little
that's brilliant.
Car thing.
He's very clever, isn't he?
Yeah, he is indeed.
Old James.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Tenterden Chamber popping up again. Oh, yeah, he liked me. Did you notice there was a little whiff of garlic in the studio today?
Well, I don't know, because I had garlic last night as well.
Lots, after I told you to.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have as much as I had, though?
No. No one had as much as you had.
Brian the Grantsman.
The whole of France didn't have as much garlic as you had.
Brian the Grantsman has done a little video of me guzzling tea.
Okay.
And he'll be on the show in a tick. Casey Canine says, am I allowed a shout-out today? He's saying it in a sort of canine voice. Am I allowed a how does a greyhound talk? Am I allowed in a shout out today as a retired greyhound giving support to
is that a greyhound voice?
Yeah,
is it?
That's my greyhound voice.
Okay.
To at Kent Greyhound Rescue. That's on the Twitter, Kent Greyhound RE, short for rescue. For all the good work they do, finding forever homes for homeless dogs like me, Casey Canine, and I'll have a biscuit and a chew, please.
So that was a greyhound from Essex.
Yeah.
I've got one more tweet, and then I'm going to do the uninterrupted Federation of Small Business News. Collector's buddy, Martin Reeves.
Mm-hmm. Is he in the loft?
No, he's not. He's Buddy _ Museum is his Twitter handle. And he says, can I have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? I'm not in the loft because I need to do some family food shopping, yawn, he says.
Yeah.
But I'll check in later and listen on the catch-up. Well, he said, have a good show, but you always do.
So. Oh, we do. And Tenterden Chamber, did you see that? They say, hi, Jules, no mention of you.
Yeah.
How about a shout-out today for Tent Chamber, still fighting for our members during the pingdemic, and better include your assistant for Illawarra local business. I like that one.
Thank you. I'm actually speaking at a networking event tomorrow, as long as they send a limo for me.
Where are they sending you a limo?
No.
Maybe a tandem bike.
No, I'm speaking at the Wilden Business Group.
Oh, are you?
At the Little Silver Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just opposite.
It's opposite my house. Yeah.
You just nip over in your smoking jacket, don't you?
In my PJs, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
In my slippers.
What time?
7 a.m.
Oh, that is early, but luckily you don't have to commute.
Yeah, well, I won't go to bed,
time.
Sit
up all night.
I might as well stay up at that early.
Yeah, that is early.
Yeah.
But you can go in your in your PJs and your smoking jacket.
Right, here we go.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Okay, here's the news from the Federation of Small Business. I'm going to give you loads of events that are happening. At the end of all of these, I'm going to give you the link to find out more and to book your place. Bounce Back Loans, how to benefit from pay as you grow. On Thursday the 29th of July, 1 to 2 p.m., join the FSB and the British Business Bank to hear how Pay As You Grow works and how your business can benefit. The session will also cover recovery loans and include plenty of time for questions. The event is hosted by Martin McTague, who is the FSB National Vice Chair on Policy and Advocacy. And the FSB will also be joined by Richard Bierman, who's the Managing Director of Small Business Lending, and Gaynor Dykes, who's the Senior Manager, Origination and Relationship Management for the British Business Bank. So that's Thursday, 29th of July, 1 p.m. There's Social Media Strategy with FSB and Google, Thursday the 5th of August, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We're pleased to be partnering with Google Digital Garage to provide a free live webinar training. The Google Digital Garage provides free online and live webinar digital skills training to individuals and businesses in the UK to help people find a job, grow their skills, careers or business from home. Join us for a session to learn about how you can build a social media strategy into your business plan. On Thursday the 9th of September, 12:30 to 1:30, Maximise Your Membership. Maximise Your Membership session is free online event open to all new joiners to the FSB, as well as existing members who want to refresh their memories regarding the available benefits of membership. So that's Maximise Your Membership, 9th of September, 12:30. There's the Kent Property and Construction event on Thursday the 9th of September, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Join this online event to get inside knowledge from an expert which could make the difference and make useful contacts. The event is hosted by Peter Searle, and that's Thursday the 9th of September, Kent Property and Construction. On the same day, Thursday the 9th of September, so you can go straight from one to the other, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. is the Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking. And they say it's Thursday the 9th of September, 11 till 12, optional after party, 12 to 12:30. I like what they're doing there. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. The event is hosted by Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings. All of those events you can find by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, and you will find them all there with full details and a link to book your space. And all of those events are free to attend. There's also Good Food Growth Kent. There's a virtual Meet the Buyer session on the 9th of September. There are a few places spaces left for buyers looking to grow their local food and drink supply chain. As the interest in local food, traceability and provenance continues and consumers continue to redefine their relationship with food and drink, this is your opportunity to meet suppliers from across the southeast. If you'd like to find more information or to book, you need to send an email to jillsargent@producedinkent.co.uk. That's Jill with a J, dot Sargent, S-A-R-G-E-N-T, jill.sargent@producedinkent.co.uk. We'll probably hear more about that next week, because Flirty Huto, who's the CEO of Producing Kent, is our guest on the Business Punk Show next week.
Yeah, if we only we can say her name properly, that's the main problem. Flirty. I must get some stroopwafel to bring.
You're interrupting, aren't you?
Oh, I know, but it's only about stroopwafel. That's all right. That's allowed, isn't it?
Okay. There's an FSB events strategy survey. We're keen to hear from our members about how we deliver events in the future. In response to the pandemic, the FSB reacted quickly and shifted our events activity virtually, delivering over 1,800 virtual events to 58,000 people in the past 12 months. The FSB are continuing to align our activity with the roadmap set out by England and devolved governments, and long-term FSB will embrace the new behaviours of business community by delivering a mix of virtual and physical events. Please help shape our program by completing a very short survey, which will take no longer than 3 minutes. If you'd like to participate, if you go to smartsurvey.co.uk/FSB future events, that's smartsurvey.co.uk/FSB future events. And also, there's the Kent and Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony 2021. This year, the Kent and Medway FSB will be supporting the Kent and Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony 2021. This will be a virtual event held on Friday the 8th of October and is set to be a memorable event recognising the valuable role apprentices play in the workplace. If you're an apprentice, If you employ or know an apprentice that you feel deserves recognition, please do not feel free to nominate them. To find out all about it and to nominate apprentices for the awards ceremony, if you go to appgradknm.org/registration. That's appgradknm.org/registration. And that, my friends, is the FSB news for
very nicely
week.
Done, may I say.
Mm-hmm. What you got then?
Stroop waffle. Nim's fruit crisps, of which I have partaken many, they're in Sittingbourne and they're launching a new range of air-dried ingredients after the Queen's Award success. The launch of a new range of air-dried ingredients being trialled by restaurant chains is helping a healthy crisp manufacturer emerge stronger from the pandemic. Nim's fruit crisps, which employs 18 people at its factory in Sittingbourne, responded to a drop in demand for picking up food on the go, as people spent more time at home, by accelerating the introduction of its latest products designed for bars, restaurants and retailers. Two high-profile restaurant chains that cannot yet be named. I do love a mystery.
Those that can't be named.
I'll have to take her out and, you know,
torture her.
Yeah, are already trialling the 100% natural bespoke ingredients in their dishes as they look to benefit from a more cost-effective option that delivers great taste, improved aesthetics, I thought it was anaesthetic for a minute there, and a longer 24-month shelf life. The ingredients are said to be versatile and can be used to garnish salad, flavour a porridge, or as a main ingredient in a soup, for example, and products range from the ubiquitous
onion. It's all over the place.
The ubiquitous onion. They're all in my fridge at the moment.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
You've got a fridge full of ubiquitous onions.
Yeah, and okay. Onions.
Aren't they biscuits?
Red ones. Okay. Ubiquitous. And dried ginger to the more exotic sea buckthorn.
Fantastic. KCC Infection Prevention and Control Training. Social Enterprise Kent is delivering high-quality, free COVID-19 infection prevention training to small and micro businesses, sole traders and not-for-profit organisations. The objective of the three-hour course is to promote safe practice in the workplace by raising awareness and identifying effective methods of infection control, including COVID-19. We will guide you through the risk assessment process, resulting in a completed risk assessment for your own organisation. If you'd like to find out more, go to sektraining.org.uk/course/KCC COVID. That's sektraining.org.uk/course/KCC COVID.
Business partners Alan Brett and Steve Pennington first got a taste for a career in hospitality when they were fed up they couldn't get a late Sunday lunch in Rochester. With most eateries closing after last orders of the traditional roast were served up, they were left hungry with no other option for a bite to eat with their family and friends. It was then that they gave the self-confessed foodies the appetite to open Oliver's Bar and Restaurant at the Star Hill end of the High Street in 2010. And this followed closely by the Rochester coffee shop down the road. I wonder if Taisy goes to these jaunts. I expect she does. Mm. After a couple of years establishing Oliver's as a fine eating establishment and nightclub, the two friends launched Brettington's Steak and Lobster House. I do love a surf and turf. And now they're preparing to unveil their latest venture, Fish at 55 and Sakana at 55, a fish and sushi restaurant on the corner of Northgate. They're going wild, this couple. Alan Brett and Steve Pennington. The eatery, which is spread over three floors and has undergone extensive refurbs, is due to open in early September. It will employ 50 full and part-time staff, bringing the total workforce of their businesses in the town of Rochester to about 80. So well done, guys.
All of those restaurants are in the same street.
Wow, I mean, you know, incredible.
And
so
they're
much
really
eating.
Going for it, aren't they?
I always have a problem with, they were saying about late roast. I have a problem with brunch because I like to eat brunch about 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And by the time I've walked to somewhere in Whitstable and that, they say, oh, sorry, we stopped doing it at 11:30. And that really annoys me.
Yeah.
I like an all-day brunch.
It's like McDonald's.
What do they? I've been to McDonald's since the 80s.
Yeah.
Tell me about McDonald's.
Well, they won't serve you breakfast after 10 o'clock.
Will really?
They? Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not good for you, McDonald's.
I don't know. I don't go there because I don't go there because I'm not up at that time and I don't want anything.
No, you're at the little silver hotel, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
In
your
dressing gown.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Awards celebrate hard work, success, and a great PR for your organisation. If you're a winning business, Why not enter the free Maidstone Area or Ashford Area Business Awards 2021? There are 12 categories to enter in each region, and there will be, hopefully, an awards ceremony in November taking place at the Great Danes Hotel at Hollingbourne. If you'd like to find out more about the categories, how to apply and how to nominate people and all about the awards, go to businessawardskent.co.uk.
Just a few of the lovely people who came to the last Marsh Network Online. The next meeting of Marsh Network Online will be at 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday the 4th of August. So that's Wednesday week. You can book early to reserve your place at www.marshnetwork.co.uk. And their 10-minute speaker will be Joyce Coomber Sewell, who speaks amazingly about her commitment to help those with autism, and they will have their normal business discussion to close the meeting. And the network continues to grow and spread across Kent and Sussex and is now attracting visitors from further afield. You can book now to come along and enjoy their style of relaxed professional networking. No joining or membership fees. You can pay as you go for only a fiver, which includes a contribution to charity. You can email terry@botfield.net, and you can also follow him on the Twitter at tbotty, B-O-T-T-Y.
T-D-Botty.
T-D-Botty, thank
T-D-Botty
you.
T-D-Botty on the Twitter.
Thank you.
Land, Home and Space in Maidstone, recruiting all female trade to encourage more women into a male-dominated industry. An all-female team of trade workers in Maidstone is carving the way in the male-dominated industry. Property developers Land Solutions started Land, Home and Space in January, a women-only team of plumbers, interior designers and decorators to encourage more women into those roles, which is very good.
As a new grant for the safe reopening of community venues and spaces, parish councils and anyone with a community venue or space is being encouraged to apply now for a new COVID-19 grant. Many community venues have been forced to close during the pandemic as they were unable to operate in a way that met COVID-19 safe guidelines and restrictions. This government grant is for those venues or spaces that will be offering their facilities to community groups or individuals that will provide support to people who have been disproportionately affected by the pandemic. So your bids can go into the parish councils. There's a very, very long web thing. So if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, you will find that link there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go on there and have a look. So the grant can be used to help fund additional adaptations to reduce the spread of coronavirus in community spaces such as parks and outdoor play areas. It's funny because we've got Brian the Grantsman on later
Right after the news, which we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom shortly. And right after the news, we're going to talk to our second guest, Mr. Brian Hall from Kent Invicta Chamber. And we're really looking forward to that. He's been very quiet so far, hasn't he?
Well, we haven't let him get a word in.
No, he can't get a word in edgeways, can he?
There he is. And you can follow Brian. He's at Bryan Invicta on the Twitter. So do give him a tweet and a welcome, B-Bunker hashtag.
Absolutely. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom, and then we're going to talk to Brian when we come back. Here we go.